Lucia read Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. You know, I know a lot of people that have been married 30 years, 40 years. We got a couple in this, 60 years. It's a long time. But as we grow up, I remember growing up, even as a Southern Baptist, as we grow up, we're told to go find the right spouse. And we're going to talk about that today, because today we're going to continue, believe it or not, we still are in the middle of a Genesis series. And I want to talk to you a little bit about Genesis, because I grew up thinking, I got to go find somebody that is equally yoked. What's that mean? Well, I can tell you, I found out really quick as a teenager, because I found somebody that was not equally yoked, and she led me down the wrong path very, very quickly. And if it wasn't for me being young and my mother and father dragging me back out of that situation, I could have been in very, very big trouble. But they intervened. But I'll tell you, one of the greatest challenges we have as Christians is to find somebody that is equally yoked with what we believe. And it's probably multiplied depending upon your level of your relationship with God. So that's the greatest challenge, is to find somebody that is going to strengthen your walk with God by joining you and encouraging you in that walk, that it's going to be first and foremost in that relationship. And because of that, that relationship will survive. It's not based on beauty. It's not based on good looks. It's not based on any of that. It is based on your commitment to the Lord together that sees you through. Wish somebody had told me that when I was a kid. Oh, yeah, they did. I didn't listen. In Genesis, we see that they had the same problem that we have today. But I want to tell you, love is first commitment and then a feeling, and it's never, ever based on looks. Now, I know you guys better go home and tell your wife how beautiful she is. And if not, well, I'll leave that alone. But after the fall of Cain, and we've studied this, after the fall of Cain and the birth of Seth, there was only one seed. There was only one seed that remained faithful to God. Just one. And I want to take the time to talk about that one seed as we continue this Genesis series. So in Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose." There's a lot in that verse. But this is a real problem. And it led to the fall of the faithful men of God. It led to people to fall away from God. And we're going to explore that a little bit this morning. But there's several things that are going on here. One, man began to increase numerically. They began to multiply. And as they multiply, not only did they multiply, but they multiplied geographically as well, because Cain refused, if you remember, to be a nomad and go out into the world like God suggested. He stayed. But the rest of the offspring, they moved in mountains. They went all kinds of other places. We see that there were daughters that were born to human families. So it wasn't just the guys that began there. It had to be some girls there, right? Now, the most significant is the ladies or the daughters were, well, they were real knockouts. They were meant to be. They were made that way. They were attractive to men. God made woman to be attractive, to catch man's eyes, especially the ones that God's trying to get us to pay attention to. And we know man's attention span's really small. The women laughed, the men, not so much. You don't think so? Look back at what Adam said about Eve when she's created. He had a lot to say. Being attracted physically is not the only thing you should be looking for. It is a good thing to be attracted physically, but it's also a very good thing to be attracted spiritually. And I'm telling you, the couples that are getting married, This month, Nadia, Alex, it's getting close, right? They've been here almost every Sabbath together. They worship together. I see that. That is encouraging.
Amen.
But for those that aren't married, those that are just still out there kind of looking, well, I can tell you, there is a godly man or a godly woman out there, and God specifically has them designed for you. They will catch your attention if you're paying attention. You know, it's more than physical beauty, amen?
Amen.
We're all going to grow old. We're probably going to be a lot less attractive as we grow older. Maybe. And I'm on thin ground here, right? See some funny looks. Hey, I look pretty good at 20, 22 years old. I moved around a lot better, and I don't move so good, and I don't look so good anymore. All the men, hey, some of you guys are lucky. I look at you guys that are older than me and still have hair. Good for you. Mine all fell off. You know, if they love you, if they truly love you, though, they're going to care more about your heart than the things that are happening to you. They're going to care more about your heart than all the physical things. And they're going to care about what you set your heart to. The Bible says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they took those that they chose in Genesis chapter 2. And there's two groups that are specifically mentioned here. One, the first is, it's the daughters of men. So we have the daughters of men in one hand. And then the second group is called the sons of God. Now, I've studied with the many that believe that those sons of God, those giants, those Nephilim, they came down, they were fallen angels. There's a couple problems with that, but, you know, they believe these fallen angels came down and they had relations with those daughters, and they bore children that were superhumans. They become giants of the old. That's where Goliath came from, and there's all kinds of crazy stories tied to that. But really, is that more fiction or is that truth? I'm here to tell you today that's not truth. It's fiction. They believe that it resulted in these superhumans. You know, that comes from stories told by people that didn't take much time to read their Bible. They just read a small verse and they decided, you know what, this verse needs a little bit of spice. So they added some spice to the verse. And then we end up with some messed up theology. So the real question today is, what really is the truth of the matter? What is truth? And there are a few issues on the surface of that belief. The problem with this, especially when you look at the belief, the problem of that view, even if an angel, well, an angel wouldn't even be interested in the first place. Biblically speaking, an angel, well, they wouldn't have anything to do with this because according to heaven, what happens in heaven? They're not given in marriage or anything else. Second, God would never permit that to happen. That type of behavior would be against not only the biblical description of heaven, but it would be against the character of God to allow that to happen. So we get to Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. And it says, "And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be numbered 120 years. So there are two principles here. They're identified. The sons of God, in principle, are identified here in verse 3. So we begin to see them identified here. So we have two key words here. Man, which in the Hebrew is Adam. And then we have flesh. And flesh in the Hebrew is simply, it means flesh. So this flesh is flesh and blood that is descended from Adam and Eve. That's what they're talking about here. We're talking about real people, not angels. So you got to really stop and think, who are the sons of God if they're not angels? Who are the sons of God that fell in love with the daughters of men in verse 2? And we begin to unfold that, and we look in verse 4. And in verse 4, it says, there were giants on the earth in those days and also afterwards. When the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. So we begin to see that, but now I can tell you there's a better translation. The American Standard Version actually translates this way. The Nephilim were in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men and they bare them children or built children to them, the same were the mighty men who are of old, the mighty men of renown. So what's going on here? Why two different things? Why do we have Nephilim and why do we have giants? And inquiring minds want to know, right? Well, when you begin to look at it and you really begin to dig into it, in the Greek Septuagint translation, that's the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. That's the direct translation of the Hebrew Bible, which occurred somewhere around the 2nd century B.C. They called them something. Now, your Bibles also, a lot of your Bibles will have Nephilim in it. So most have the word Nephilim in it, but some Bibles say giants, which would be the Greek translation. The Greek translation was simply gigantes. They were giants. And in fact, I think the Greek translators were just kind of lazy in the way they translated. So essentially, when the Greek's translation occurred, they translated it as giant, gigantes. That's not a very good translation. The Hebrew word Nephilim, which literally means fallen, would have been a better translation. So if the translator was actually doing his job, if he's actually doing his job as a translator, he did it right, he wouldn't have put the word Nephilim there, and the Greeks wouldn't have put the word giant there. He would have simply put the fallen ones. It would have read, the fallen ones were on in the earth in those days, where there are fallen people in the earth, where there are fallen flesh in the earth in that day. Yeah, Cain and his descendants, right? They were fallen. Now, there's a couple things that make them fallen. You notice that the Nephilim are called the sons of God in verse 4, though. So as we look at that, they're the sons of God. And it refers to a time when men begin to multiply on the face of the ground. It says those days refer to the days when the sons of God cast their eyes on the daughter of men. They caught their eyes. Those days go way back to the very beginning. So here's a question. Can the sons of God fall away from God and become the Nephilim or the fallen ones? Is that possible? It is, right? Is it possible for someone who believes in God to then fall away and lose that relationship with God? You always hear the version, can you fall if you're not walking? No, not really. So at some point in time, they were walking with God. Is it possible for someone to believe that they have no need for God in their life anymore? Yes. So many Christians live what they think is a Christian life. And that Christian life is void of any obedience to God. And I want to talk about that today because that's what happens to us if we're not paying attention. Our Christian life without obedience to God begins to deteriorate really quick. What will finally happen in that Christian life is if they're going to give up on grace, they will believe that grace is unattainable in their life. You know, they're going to give up on living a Christian life at some point in time. And they're going to become very angry with God. They're going to fall away from God. That's just how it is. You know, the Bible's clear about that. When we go to Matthew 24, verses 10 through 12, and you guys have probably gone and read Matthew 24. 4 through 14 is a really good read. But here in the midst of that is this, and then many of them will be offended. In other words, they're going to fall away. To be offended, they're going to be offended with what you believe, how you believe, what they think of God, how their Christian walk is going, and they're going to fall away. And they will betray one another, and they will hate one another. Then there will be false prophets that will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold or grow cold. We read this verse and we don't even pay attention to what it really says sometimes. It means that there's going to be Christians that are going to fall away and they're going to begin to hate each other. Whew, it's a good thing that doesn't happen. Question is, can you fall away? Can you fall away if you were never connected with God in the first place? No. You had to be connected in the first place. Can you fall away if you never had a saving relationship with the Father and the Son? Can you fall? No. So that means that you've had to have that relationship. And we have warnings in the Bible about this. Luke 8:13-14. It says, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. Do you know anybody like that? Do you know anybody that comes and finds Jesus Christ? They find the church, they find things, and they begin to learn and learn. And the more they learn, all of a sudden something happens. And they're gone. And we wonder, well, where did it go? What happened? They hear, they receive word with joy. And these have no roots, who believe for a while and then time of temptation, they fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. You know, that goes against everything. What happens when somebody believes in Jesus Christ? What happens in John 3:16? You get eternal life. It's a free gift. But they don't have any roots to understand that relationship with God. And when they don't have the roots, they don't have the foundation in that relationship, they fall away. They don't heed the warnings. And it's not a new warning. It's not something we just find in the New Testament. When we look at Hebrews 3:12, it says, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. In other words, you're already there. You're already abiding with God. And at some point in time, you depart from it. And I'm appealing to you as a Christian today, as a brother in Christ today, not to buy into this false teaching of God's election. And you know, we've talked about God's election. He has elected you from the beginning to have a relationship with him. He is inviting you to do that. And it is up to you to accept that relationship. But I'm appealing to you as a Christian today not to buy into the false teachings that God's election robs you of personal freedom in this world. It does not. It expands your personal freedom for all eternity. And we seem to get choked by that with the cares of this world, of what's happening in our lives. And it brings us right back. Genesis 4:6. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, the fallen ones. They were there. And also after that, they were still there. When the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, when they come down and they seen the flesh of those lovely women, they took them and they bare children to them. The same were the mighty men that were of old, men of renown. Nephilim, which means the fallen ones, was the first, well, were first, they were called sons of God. So verse 4 says they had a name in ancient times. They had a name that went way back. They had something else that they were named by, they were called by, that was different from the sons of God. And that would make sense. That was the issue here. They used to be called something else. Now they're called the sons of God. They're called the Nephilim, the fallen ones. They were known by something different prior to the name that we find here recorded in verse 4. So the question is simple. What is that name? They weren't always called sons of God. They had a name that was older than that. They had a name that was more important than that. And that's the name we need to find out. Verse 4 literally says that they were men of the name in the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, it sounds something like this. Sheha Hashem. Literally. She, the man of Hashem. Now, wait a minute, there's something there. See, you're wrinkling your eyebrows. Where's Shem at? You really got to stop and think of that. What name in the Bible does that remind you of when you hear that? Shem, Noah's first son. Noah's first son named Shem, his name literally means the name. Literally. So before they were called sons of God, they were called men of the name. It's a more important name, right? It's a more significant name. And I believe they were mighty men because they used the name men of the name. I believe they were mighty men because they knew the mighty God. They knew Elohim in a very, very special way. They knew Elohim not as Elohim, the God, the powerful God that is way, way off in the distance. They knew him as Yahweh Elohim, as a personal God. They were righteous men of the mighty God, and I believe they had a mighty relationship with God at one point in their life. And for them to have that and then fall away as a pastor, as a Christian, it scares me because we're all in danger of that at some point in our life. It is easy to become a fallen Christian. They fell away. They became the fallen ones. They became the sons of God. They became the Nephilim. They fell. And their fall began and ended with the flood. You know, I reflect. Older you get, you reflect more, right? I've reflected on all the friends I've had in my life. And I see pictures of people I remember in high school that I was friends with. You know, the unfortunate thing is, I can't remember their name. Can't remember their name at all. I had a lot of friends growing up. I reflect on that. Most of the relationships faded away into the past. They were never really grounded. They were never really strong relationships. I didn't really care that much about them. They didn't really care that much about me. It was just convenient to be friends. They were just somebody to hang around, friends of the moment. I don't even talk to them anymore. Every once in a while, I'll see them on Facebook, and I don't say nothing. Might send them a birthday request, maybe. And like I said, there's several that I can't even remember their names. I see their face, and I'm like, oh, I remember that, but I don't remember the name. You know, unfortunately, there was a time in my life that God was on that list that faded away. I can stand here and tell you that today. My early relationship with him was of convenience more than substance. That's where my relationship was based, was convenience. I became like the Nephilim. I became like the giants of old, and I forgot what my relationship with God was supposed to be like. I walked away from it, and as I walked away from it, I began to forget all kinds of things. And it's easy to do that if your relationship is not strong. It is easy to do that if your relationship with God is not your focus in life. If you lose focus, then you're in big trouble. I lost focus, and I got in big trouble. It's easy to do in your life. Today, it's easy to fall away. Man, is it easy. We got all these things going on in life. We got job problems. We got financial problems. 2020, we got COVID problems, right? You're bombarded with COVID in the morning in the news. You're bombarded with COVID during your ride to work because the radio station keeps talking about it. You're bombarded at work with COVID because all your fellow employees are talking about it. And you get scared. And it begins to take your focus off everything else that's important in your life. And you begin to think COVID is the most important thing in your life. Mind you, we have people like that. They find it more comfortable to hide and stay home. And you know, we had somebody join the church this morning. One thing about a church, you know what the first thing is about a church that I really admire about the institution that Jesus Christ set up? Is because your church members, not because you need to be here, not because your name's going to be on the list to get into heaven, and that won't work. You are here as a Christian because you're among other Christians that are going to lift you up and going to strengthen you. Amen. You are here among Christians that you have pledged that you are part of this church, and if you stumble and you fall like the Nephilim, we're going to come find you. We're going to try to drag you back to the relationship that you're supposed to have, and that's why you need to be a member of the church. Amen. Fellowship's nice, but you're here to get strength and to be held accountable in your Christian walk with God. That's why you should be here. Unfortunately, we hide in fear. And those that are hiding in fear right now don't get dressed in the morning and they watch Doug Bachelor, they watch Sean Boonstra, they watch It Is Written, they watch all these different shows. And you know, I've watched, and there's one out there, and I've already talked to him, so I'll share it. Not only did they do that, but they began to not keep the Sabbath. They're not here. You know how I know that? Facebook post. God loves social media. I looked at that, and I looked at the timestamp on when they were at the garage sale, and I was like, oh my gosh, they're falling away. It's not that you're falling away from this church, you're not going to come share with us. It's the fact that you're falling away from the kingdom of God. You've given up on grace. You're not trying to abide with God. You're abiding for yourself. You've been overcome with the pleasures of the world. You've been overcome with the fears of COVID. You've been separated from other Christians. And when you do that, you fall away. And I believe with all my heart that one of the biggest problems with the Nephilim, with those that have fallen away in Genesis, is they were not holding each other accountable. They were not supporting each other. It's my belief. I can't prove it biblically. But I can tell you from being a Christian, I see it. You know, one morning we're going to wake up and forget that relationship with God if we're not careful. If we do not seek the relationship of God with purpose in our life, if we don't make that our first purpose in life, we can very easily wake up and find that it no longer exists in our life. We will be like the Nephilim. We will become the fallen ones of this day, this age. We're going to become a story for all eternity for those that are taken in the second coming, because they're going to look and say, look what happened in the last days. They fell. They had a relationship. Simple this morning. If it seems that your relationship is slipping right through your fingers like sand, take the time to call on the name of the Lord. And I'm not talking about call out Elohim. I'm talking about call out Yahweh Elohim. Because he waits to be personal in your life. Not a God that's off somewhere else. As Elijah says, he's not sleeping somewhere else. He's not on vacation. He is here. His grace is sure. His love is in abundance. And his desire today is to save you for all eternity. All you have to do is focus on that relationship. Make that your first priority. If you struggle with it, call me. Call one of the elders, call one of your leaders, call somebody. Let them strengthen you and pray with you and lift you up. Because we cannot afford, in today's time, in today's age, we cannot afford to fall away in these last moments of history. And it's going to get easier to fall away. COVID is only the first step, I believe. I think more is coming. And if we don't prepare ourselves for that, we're going to be in real trouble. And I don't mean individually. I mean we need to prepare as a church. We need to seek those that do stumble, those that do fall, and we need to go pick them up. Amen. Please stand with me today.